from the Department of Higher Education of our entity, NXY, for all officials of other means, I suggest you to get started. We were informed that the Deputy Minister will be with us. Now that he is not known, I suggest we start the program. We give him this individual. He will be able to. As we offer the meeting, I'll request that we observe a moment of silence for education. The purpose of the meeting was for an access to report their annual progress, but it should not take place because of the shifting of the schedules of the NCOC. We are happy, however, that today we did a serious opportunity, and I do hope that we are going to engage very quickly this morning. It is not intended that it is going to be a very long meeting, really, given the fact that other members are going to other meetings, and you have given us your presentation. I hope that members will find it easy to come up with engagement by way of comments or questions or giving guidance to the committee. Let us introduce ourselves. Let's start with the select committee. I am Mrs. Zwane, member of the NCOC Chairperson Office, Select Committee that is called Education and Education. The committee also encompasses civic education, sports and education, as well as agriculture. I hand over to the other members, Mr. President.
Good morning, I'm Adam Kunnewald, member of the committee, and I'm representing the Northwest Islands.
Good morning, members. My name is Thandi Mhambo Shigwane. I'm the member of the Select Committee. What's the case?
Good morning. My name is Ndoku Sekaula, member of committee from KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning. The name is Lukoza Kubushi. I'm the chief of operations at NASCAR.
Good morning. My name is
Mungu.
I'm the board
of NASCAR. My name is Ozushi. I'm the board of
NASCAR. My
name is Paul. The board of NASCAR. Good morning, James Tredu, CFO, Department of Higher Education.
Good morning, members. The name is Lerato Nakhe, the Chief Financial Officer in this office.
Good morning. My name is Nsula Kaka, the Executive Officer of NSF.
The department then
the
presented. However, with the constraint of the presentation that we have onto the chapter. Thank you. The DM is very well protected in this community. Thank you. The, our own parliamentary staff is to introduce yourself. We are all introducing ourselves. I didn't hear the voice of the guest. Okay, let me take the opportunity then, honorable members, to welcome all of us to the meeting and also welcome you because it will be our definition during the year of 2015. I do want to say that I would always thank the support of the members of the committee and the our own governors of parliament. I do want to say as the Deputy Minister that we have always enjoyed support from the Department of Higher Education. We anticipate that the same minister that came even this year in 2015 and we are very happy that we found time to come around to actually come and be with us. I do want to inform the members of the committee that we did say to me after one of the meetings that we had at the Max building that you would be happy to receive correspondence well in advance from the next committee and inform you about the meeting and your proposals accordingly. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is the presentation by NEFA. However, I want to give this opportunity to the minister to prepare their presentation.
Well, thank you very much, Chair, select committee members, officials from the department, from NASPAS. Now, Chair, let me take this opportunity and really thank the select committee for giving us this opportunity to present ourselves as kind of prescripts of the law, particularly this very important organization NASPAS. Because the future of the country lies in the work that they do on a daily basis. Now, I hold the view that these opportunities are very crucial because it gets to people's interests and also present the challenges that we are faced with as the Minister of Department and as governments generally. But also this opportunity, you know, presents or rather we get to tell members of parliament about the mileage and the strides we've made in the course of our work. NASPAS being a very important pillar of the higher education system, in that student funding is a make or break for the poor schools. If we don't get it signed, we'll collapse. The department will definitely collapse. Mm-hmm. Now this year, Chair marks 6 years since the adoption of the Freedom Charter, which clearly stipulated that the doors of learning in Kasa should be open. And to do that, we'll have to get this entity right and get it to do its work in the right manner. Now, earlier spoke of the strike we made, and the strike that NASFA has made in over the last couple of years. Now, I will hand over to one of the board members to just give a preface before the CEO takes us through the presentation. Safe to say, Chair, that, you know, over the last 5 years, we've increased the allocation of NASA from 2.5 billion in 2010 to about 9.5 billion in 2015. Now, this is a lot of money. Seriously. But of course, there are still challenges because we increase the allocation, the demand also increases. You know, I think we've come before this committee to say we need about 50 billion to give you the current challenges of students wanting to access higher education and training. But we are trying to do whatever we can with the needs that we have. Within the context of the many young people who really want to access high education training, but it is indeed a lot of money. In fact, if you look at all government programs and the increases there, you'll find that actually this is one program where we've had to increase in a very drastic manner. It's an important program, and we know the challenges. There are challenges here which we also want to share with you and get wisdom also from the front of how we can perform this task better. This is a very difficult period for us in higher education. And then when you go around, and I know as members of parliament, you have constituencies, you interact with the communities and all of that. All the complaints that you put forward to yourselves, NASFAS is a thorny issue that is being raised. So we want to share with you some of those challenges and how we intend to deal with them. Going forward and the success stories as well, because it's not all doom and gloom in all honest. We've done some good work, we've covered some serious ground. But as I said, there are challenges, and I'll ask the CEO when he presents to really put those challenges forward. They must be as clear so that you equally appreciate the work that is before us. It's a difficult one, because you just have so much and the need is here. But I'm hoping for a fruitful engagement, for a robust discussion between ourselves and the committee. But as I said, we want you to also strengthen us, tell us where we can do things better, given, of course, the successes and the challenges, so that we can go out of this room to do exactly what you feel you should be doing, because we're doing this task on behalf of our people. And we have made an undertaking that we will serve them and serve them well. So I thought I should just say that, Chair, that indeed, we appreciate this opportunity. Whenever we are called by the committee, we have to respond, because this is where we account, and this is where we are held accountable as a department, but also with our entities. So I'm going to hand over, Chair, with your permission, or just hand back to you. I want to give permission, I can just hand over to NASFA to just so that they give a briefing, and then the CFO can take us through the report, and then engage other.
before we head over to the presenter, we wish as this committee to put it to next us that we are aware that during the previous year, the Department of Higher Education hired or commissioned a review committee that started the operation of the activities of NESPA in the deep analyzing the limitations of the funding as well as they put the accommodation as to what could be done with the implementation of. Now, as you do the presentation, one would then expect that you would actually touch on this as well. In terms of the recommendation, it put forth 10 recommendations. I am not going to reiterate them, but you know that they were forwarded as well. How can you try in the midst of the difficulties and challenges that we have, that the minister has added to, but you need to try to plead in your panel such that we try to overcome many of those challenges. So I will head over to you with that kind of feedback as to respond to the recommendations by the review committee that was commissioned during the previous parliament. I think it is that those recommendations were forwarded, and it was not as they were not.
The name is Andrew Shimbo, and I'm speaking on behalf of the board of NSFAS. Our acting chairperson, unfortunately, had a medical appointment and is not with us today. I'm not going to really speak to the recommendations as questions, and I'm hoping that the executive officer will, in this presentation, speak to the most important issues of our work in the last year. But what I can assure the committee of is that the NSFAS board is now stable. There was a time when there were lots of challenges around the board operations, but the board is in place, it's functioning. Secondly, I'd like to also inform the committee about our commitment to governance and corporate issues at NSFAS, because without those in place, we always have other challenges. We're trying to really clean that space. In lastly, the challenge around the movement from the IT-centered, student-centered funding process compared with the old-fashioned one. And that's our focus area, fundamentally. We're watching this carefully. So at this stage, I will not speak to numbers and what happened to the recommendations. I'm hoping that after the presentation, people will pick up the points from the presentation and then engage with us. Thank you very much.
I'm
heading
over then to the official that
completes
the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start the presentation. Good morning again. The outline of the presentation, Chairperson, will speak about the Chairperson's report, the executive officer, the shareholder through the financial statements, and I will take the annual performance report, the 2014 review and challenges. We have also, Chairperson, added in our presentation just to update the committee on the 2015 issues, in as much as we are dealing with 2013-14 financial year. We thought it's when we have this opportunity to be in front of the committee, we should touch briefly on the 2013 challenges that NSFAS has experienced to date. In terms of the board and the mandate of NSFAS, Chairperson, The mandate is articulated in the Act, and I'm not going to go through the slides in terms of what NSFAS is meant to do, but one of the most critical things for NSFAS to allocate funds for loans and bursaries to eligible students, raise funds, recover loans, and also advise the Minister on matters relating to student financial aid. The board in the area of the review made significant progress in carrying out its mandate. Given the challenges that also the institution experienced, the board now is fully functioning as already been mentioned. All board committees were appointed. The transformation program, which is one of the recommendations, which is one of the programs that came out of the recommendation of the ministerial review,
that NSFAS cannot continue to manage its funding through universities. It needs to deal directly with the students. And the board conceptualized a transformation program, which is a new student-centered model. It was initiated during the year, and phase one was implemented during the year under review. Comprehensive policies for IT governance, systems, operations were implemented. There's still a lot of policies, Chairperson, that are still in the pipeline that still have to be developed, because this has been a big project for NSFAS. And executive managers were appointed. I think members would recall that a few years back, NSFAS was on a turnaround process, and there were no managers that were appointed at NSFAS. It has also achieved an unqualified audit for the fourth year in succession. This entity has come a long way in terms of the reporting on this financial statement. Challenges still remain. If you members look at the audit report, there are still issues that have been raised in the audit report, but progress is being made in terms of the financial accountability. That's in terms of the board. There are five committees of the board. The one is the executive committee that was chaired by Mr. Fokaise, the finance committee chaired by Mr. Nathan Johnson, the audit and risk committee chaired by Mr. Stephen Smith, the ICT committee chaired by Dr. Tim Brown, and the HR committee chaired by Ms. Bongile Masin. On the executive officer's report, the core of NSFAS was already in place to allocate funds for loans and bursaries to eligible students. In 2013, which is the academic year that relates to the financial year under review, NSFAS increased disbursements from 7.7 billion to 8.7 billion for that year, an increase of 1 billion over 2012. The number of students assisted also increased to 416,000. In line with the increase in funding that came from the Department of Higher Education and Training and other departments or state entities that contribute funding to NSFAS. This was an increase of 32,000 students against a 2012 total of 282,000 students. The NSFAS Act requires the entity to also develop the criteria and conditions for granting of loans and bursaries to eligible students in consultation with the minister. This money was achieved by laying the foundation for the transformation program. NSFAS proposed a new loans and bursaries management system to replace the old TESA system that has been used since 1991. The appointment of staff to manage increasing funds, this is an ongoing process of appointing staff. In the year under review, the number of staff have almost doubled because there's a significant increase in the number of people that are now being appointed in line with the new transformation program of NSFAS. I will just hand over to the CFO Chairperson from now on.
Thank you, members. Good morning again. I will talk to the financial performance of NSFAS. Just to reiterate what the executive officers already said, that NSFAS has achieved for the first year running and a qualified audit opinion, albeit there are other challenges. In 2013, NSFAS distributed financial aid, 8.7 billion. That represents 8.6% increase from the previous financial year, and that is slightly higher than CPI inflation of 6%. The next class went on further to fund students at 23 public universities in 7 provinces and 50 technical and vocational education and training colleges in 9 provinces. And the number of students that were funded at university was 194,000, and the TVET college was 220. A total of 164 students were further funded at agricultural colleges and 2 national institutions of higher education also received funding. And since its inception to date, NSFAS has provided 1.5 billion to 2 million students in South Africa. And NSFAS contributes free education for students from poor and working class families by providing food bursaries and converting, based on the performance of the student, converting 40% of that loan to a bursary. Final year program, NSFAS distributed 1.1 billion. To TV colleges and bursaries, that's 1.9 billion. And the 1.9 billion represent 100% bursaries. So those are not loans. And then the conversion based on the performance of the student, 60-40, was 1.3 billion. That is a bursary as well. And then other bursaries, that's National Skills Fund, the FUSA, that is Department of Basic Education, and the CETA Sector Education and Training, we distributed 2 billion. Then the total equals 6.3 billion, including other funds. I will move to the statement of financial position, that is the balance sheet. The cash that was left at the end of the financial year was 1.8 billion, and that cash is made up of 255 million of recoveries, and the detail can be found in Note 36, the utilization of investment in cash and cash equivalents. There were also prepayments of 649 million that were made during the financial year. The student loan, the fair value after the valuation of the loan book was 7.4 billion. The nominal value of those loans is 2.5 billion as outlined in the balance sheet. And there is a current amount of 580 million. The details also can be found in Note 8 and page 36. And I've already spoken about the 8.5 billion, the nominal value. And when we move further to the fixed assets, and the 62.1 million, the bigger part of it is related to the insurance-centered model that was implemented, and the details can be found in statement of cash flow. For property, plant and equipment, there was 13.4 million. For intangible, there was 38.6 million. And the bigger part of this before amortization is the software for Phoenix Loan Management System. And then payables, we have 27.5 million. When we move over to the statement of financial performance, this basically outlines how the operations have performed during the financial year under review. Operational expenditure was 51.8 million. Salaries that were paid to staff was 65.8. The transformation program was 1.9 million. The audit fees that are paid to Auditor General is 9.9 million. The computers is 5.8 million. Consulting fees included in that 5.8 million consulting fees is the IT consulting and the transformation consulting fees. Travel and subsistence is 4.9 million. Included in this travel and subsistence fee of 4.9 million is the visit that we made to the different institutions across the country. Storage and scanning is 1.4 million. And members, that is in short the presentation of the financial performance of NSFAS.
On the annual performance report, NSFAS received an unqualified report. The Auditor General has raised some issues in terms of the quality of our planning and the quality of our reporting. And that's something that the board put emphasis on in terms of improving it for the subsequent financial year. In 2013, as we have mentioned, the number of student assets has increased. 2013, disbursement have also increased. In terms of achievement of planned targets, so in Program 1, 62.5% of planned targets were achieved, and in Program 2, 57% of planned targets were achieved. And members would note that this is an area of focus. This is an area of focus for the board and for the department that NSFAS needs to ensure that it achieves all its targets. Having said that, I think it's important to know that from the disbursement of monies to students, NSFAS has disbursed all the money that it has received to students. There's a couple of targets that were not met in terms of the governance processes during that year, and the board has put an effort to ensure that that process is addressed. Just stepping out of the 13-14 financial year and just taking the committee through some of the challenges that NSFAS has experienced in terms of disbursing of loans and bursaries to students. One of the biggest issues is during the beginning of the an academic year, there's a couple of students that have got historic debt that owe the universities or the colleges money from the previous year. And these students can't register because the universities can't register them because they owe, even if they are funded for the new year, because they still have fees that are owed for the previous year. And that's one of the challenges that we have in the system. And because what we have as an allocation is an allocation for that new year. Students that now owe debt are stranded in most cases because they can't register, even if now they can be assisted. Some universities have found ways to assist those students, but some they are unable to assist those students. The second bullet, Shepherdson, is probably the biggest one, is not all students that require assistance can be assisted, simply because of the fact that there is so much money, and so much money can assist 410,000 students, for instance. And you might find that student that needs assistance 450,000. Therefore, the gap between the amount that is available and the number of students that can assist and those that are outside of the available resources. And NSFAS is now putting an effort to put more emphasis on fundraising. One of the other issues that we're now highlighting more and more is about recovering from students that are funded by the system so that we can begin to close some of the gap of unfunded students. There is also the issue of unfunded programs. VTEC is the most topical one. NSFAS funds students for a first qualification. VTEC is a second qualification.
But most students are saying that because with a national diploma, they are struggling to get into employment. Therefore, they are forced to go into BTEC, and they would have been funded by NSFAS for national diploma. And now this is one of the biggest areas. You find that this is one of the most one of the key destabilizers in the University of Technology. If you look at Tshwane University of Technology, University of Johannesburg, Japan University of Technology, and comprehensive university like Walter Sisulu University. This is one of the biggest demands that students want to be funded for their BTEC studies. And it's one of the policy, it's a policy issue that NSFAS funds students for such qualifications. Even if the policy would change, unfortunately there is so much money that is available. It would mean that if you take the money to fund BTEC students, there are some national diploma or junior degree students that are not funded because there is so much that is available in the system. The implementation of the new student-centered model has also caused some challenges. Because of the new system, massive implementation in the first year, we took on 11 institutions, and change was a big part of this. And there were some challenges that we experienced, especially in 2014 in the first year. I think when we have now seen 2015, things have improved from 2014 significantly. First year 2014, there were problems on systems, there were process issues, there were people-related issues. In some senses, we did not have enough capacity, and in some instances, we underestimated what it would mean to be able to deal directly with the students and manage the applications directly. I think student protest is one of the things that, you know, we're experiencing in the sector. It's 2014, I think it was probably much, much bigger than it has been in 2015. The student protest, and almost all protests of students, we will have a couple of other variables. It might be because that students are claiming that they don't have, there are not enough residences in the university, and they will have a protest because there are not enough residences. But somewhere, NSFAS also comes in because the students will say, if the university doesn't have enough residences, NSFAS should then pay for private accommodation. And therefore, NSFAS would back off the protest, even if the protest initial starting point was not about funding. But NSFAS, because it's a key component of the university system or the college system, it is part of the demands that are presented by students as part of student protest. Just to take the committee to 2015 preparations, what we also did in 2015 was to try and inform the universities of the allocations very early, so that in the university academic year or the start, all universities know how much money they will get so they can start registering students. We also have paid universities upfront payments. Upfront payments are meant to cushion the universities before the government financial year starts. Well, the government financial year starts in April, but the university starts working from January. Therefore, we pay universities an upfront so that they can be able to register students that come from the poorest families without requiring that they pay a registration fee or an upfront fee for those students. We've also given TVET College 10% upfront payments to also, for the same purpose, to ensure that by January, students can be able to get into a college without being required to pay upfront fees. The cap for 2015 for investments is 7,200, and there is dedicated funding for students with disabilities. Just to take the committee briefly on the numbers that we've been talking about in terms of the budget for 2015 being now 9.5 billion, this money comes from various funders. A big chunk of it comes from our mother department, DHT, for universities and for TVET colleges, there's 4.1 and 2.2 billion. National Students Fund provision amounts of about 800 million. Funza Roshaka for teacher education is contributing about a billion rand. Social development. Recoveries, 450 million of this year's budget comes from recoveries. That's an important point, that we need to increase recovery so that we can fund more and more students. Again, 450 million rand is a lot of money. But we're saying that is not enough. We need to do more to increase recovery. Universities are also putting money into the system. They also fund students from their own resources. About 200 million rand of university money comes and funds students. Sector Education and Training Authorities, the CETAs, we're working with the CETAs. The estimated amount that we might get from them is 500 million. There's various other funders that we manage funding for, Eastern Cape Province, KZN Premier's Office, Military Veterans, Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. In the previous year, we also had a private fund and NetBank. They have pulled out for this year. We continue to ensure that we render good service to the funders. because of change systems during 2014, some of the funders were not necessarily happy with the way that we are reporting to them. We're fixing that area of reporting to ensure that funders that contribute money to the system are happy and they remain in the system. We're estimating that in 2015, Chairperson will fund about 405,000 students. Just to say about the engagement bit, I'll not talk through that. And the other intervention, one of the things that we have done this year, I think we were also asked by the committee to go and visit institutions so that we can see what's happening in institutions. In 2015, we heard from teams that have been going around throughout the country to visit institutions so they can see for themselves, we'll see for ourselves, and also be able to respond much more quickly, especially on the universities that are on the new model. It has been very important for us to be stationed there. So in some universities, we've had some people stationed there for the last 6 weeks or so, so that we know what's going on. We can be able to assist students on campus because the students are now applying directly to us rather than via the universities in those universities that are on the new model. We've also engaged with some sources of funding. We're working aggressively with the CITAS to ensure that we now have a new round of funding for 2015. We've signed with Health and Welfare CITAS. They've given us 17 million rand of their money to fund students in that sector. Service CITAS has given us about 77 million rand to fund students in that sector. First sector, about 59 million rand to also fund students who are doing subjects related to accounting and finance. We also have an agreement now with basic education. Part of the challenge that we had with basic education was Sunalushaka, the bursary fund, would confirm the list of funded students in and around April after they have gone through their own budget process. But because April is too late for the academic year, we now have an agreement with them that they should start confirming list of students in Danyar. And this year, for the first time, they gave us a list of funded students in Danyar. And that's beginning to help the process and ensure that students don't stay in limbo for a long period of time before knowing when they're going to be funded. We've also engaged with the media. So members have seen us being quoted and being interviewed in various media platforms. We've been trying to spread the word of how NSFAS works, what NSFAS does, and what are our limitations with NSFAS. Because we think it's also important that people understand the limitations of NSFAS as well. They place it demand. They know that NSFAS will be able to do this, but NSFAS have these and these challenges. Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, it is time that we actually engage on the presidential. I'm tempted to start with one of the colleagues because we will be with him for some time. And we're very happy that he's now much better. He's been covered and he's very happy. Also, we are going to give you the advice.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It is also nice for me to be back. And I'm looking very positive forward in this committee of what happened here. And thank you for the presentation from the side. I think you tell us a lot of things. But I have some questions from my side as well. And really, I'm very positive of what I hear this morning and the progress we see in this committee and also in NSFAS. And I believe we are on the right track regarding that for our future in South Africa and especially for our people out of our rural areas and our needy students. We must look after them. And my biggest worry at this time is there is progress in the funding, there is an increase, but the minister makes mention about the 50 billion rand we needed. And that is quite a lot of money. And what I want to know, you mentioned that a lot of institutions is helping us, but that is not enough. Are we also looking into across the border into other countries to help us and support us with the need we have in South Africa, or are we only looking in South Africa in the economy of South Africa to support the situation and to see if we can get enough funds to fund the institutions. Then I want also to know the control of money. I think that is where the problem is. And I want to know how you manage it. When a student gets a bursary, are you handed the bursary in total, the money to the student by itself, or are you deducted firstly the payments he must pay, and then the rest is getting into his pocket, or did he get the whole bursary into his pocket? And then what I worry about here is it so that he gets all the money? How do we manage the money? That is my worry, because they came out of rural areas, they never ever handled a lot of money, and now suddenly he's got a pocket full of money and then he just spent it. And he's not coming to the point where he must pay his classes and the books and everything he must first pay. So his responsibility is not really there to pay what he must pay. So I'm worried about that. I want to know, how are you managed it? Is there, do you help the students to learn about how to handle his own small budget? I think that is the thing we must do. We must learn them firstly how to handle a budget if he get money into his position. And I know there's also a lot of fraud taking place where the payments is taking place from institution to students or masters to students. What is the measures we have there so that we can lower that fraud as well in many cases? There is fraud. I know students is not pitching up and then that may just disappear. What is the measures we have in place there? The policy, you make also mention about policies. You said you are still working on policies. What I want to know here, how many of these policies are still outstanding and is not really at this stage in place? Because everything you handled must have policies, and if the policy is not in place, the functioning of the institutions and of NASA's will also not be in place. So I think that it's very important that the policies must be firstly in place and that must be handled correctly by the administrators of the institutions. I'm also worried about the violence and the protest we have on the campuses from students. The damage, that is the main thing. They damage buildings, they damage state property, and that is must at the stage rebuild. And I think that is also things we must learn and teach our students beforehand. That if they break things down, it will cost money, and it is less money in their pockets at the end of the day. So we must look into that, and I'm really worried about, and we know about the protest we had last year, and maybe a bit less this year, but still, there was a lot of damage in properties. We also visited Mthatha last year. That was also quite interesting to see what happened. We visited the main campus of So what we saw there was also really very good. I was impressed to see what is happening on the campus. I know a few years ago there was a lot of violence there as well. But at this stage, everything is under control. We visit some of the places where the class is taking place. It is very nice, organized. And I think if we get on that track and on that way, it is positive for South Africa and also positive for the NASA's. But there's one thing at Mthatha, the main campus has five satellite campuses, and one of them between Mthatha and Fort St. John's. Yeah. There is a problem. We reported it. I reported it to the legislature in the Western Cape as well. They needed classes there. Some of the classes on that satellite campus is occupied by one of the political parties, and they use it for own purposes and not for the use of the campus and for the students. So if you can look into that, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. My greetings to the Honourable Deputy Minister and the team.
and myself. Let me welcome the report and the presentation, and we really appreciate that. We've been looking forward after seeing the protest and complaints from where we're coming from. I just want to start off by saying we are representing the provinces in this committee or in the NCOC. So information that relates to provinces is very much critical to us. Mm. If I may go back to Mpumalanga and I'm asked to give a report from NAPSAS, I don't know what I'll tell them as I'm sitting here now after receiving this report. Therefore, I want to join the AG and those responsible that the manner in which you are reporting the police. If I may be practical, go to the trailer. I don't know what slide number is that. Page 7 of the presentation. The top slide. For me, that is the only report you are getting. For me. Program 1. 32.5% of land profit achieved. What are land targets? We don't know them. You're only giving us a percentage. What does it mean to me when I go back to my constituents or to my province? Can I tell them that this class has only achieved 52.5% of what? How much money was spent per target, whether we overspend, underspend, within the budget, that information is needed. Because for the purpose of this is to be overspent of the work that is done by the state. So if that information is missing, the second bullet is program number 2, 57% of land tariffs achieved. That information, I think, I can't go over to the students at Mpumalanga and say, oh, young people of Mpumalanga, 57% of plan targets were achieved. They will ask me what targets, what was planned. So I'm sorry to say that, but for me this report is not adequate. You refer to page 15. A good presentation contains almost everything. You can't put much change, but key things you can put to say this program, this is what we've planned. We're going to do it to spend so much money, this is what we've spent. Understand, you cannot achieve what were the challenges and what are the plans, remedies of the challenges that we have. That information, all of it is missing. But I'm not sure whether one is able to address because I don't know what's engaged on. For me, I'm going to report that. There is this booklet here, but a presentation must have at least a high level information in a case. I also want to say, Chair, it will assist to know how many students need support from us. We had a presentation from ECD. They told us in the country we have so many children. Mm. How many children are we supporting? How many students need support but we don't afford? We don't have that information here. We might be having it because we do indicate that we need at least 50 billion to do us. Because if we don't have these children here, for us it's difficult to say whether we need that money or not, because that information is not available. I also want to speak to the 4.9 million spent for having. I think it's difficult to say because I don't know. You just said that you have changed that you visit my students. But in the absence of information, it looks strange. 4.9 million. That's for travel. How many students have been supported? I'm not saying people should not travel, but from where I am sitting or where I'm coming from, it looks a lot of money used for traveling. But it could be because I don't have enough information. So that in that phase, this chairperson is very difficult really to engage with Rehoboth. There is also a 1.9 million for a transformation program. I'm not sure what is that. You have a lot of information at the Rehoboth office, but it's not written. It could only hear when it's event. In slide number 9, you're talking about the signing of 2015 MOUs with different stakeholders. And you attach figures, but they are not here. In your report, just indicated that signed MOU with health sector and service sector, all these organizational stakeholders. When you were presenting, you were attaching figures, but those figures are here. It might be difficult for us to remember what you said if it is not written, because this information does not exist. We may have to go back to it as members, especially when we go back to our provinces giving information or reports from this area. But in general, some of the problems, Chair, for me, they are not supposed to be there. A problem that we could have prevented when our students are protesting. Problem like you found a student this year, you don't find the following year. What does it mean? How can we prevent them, because some of them are not supposed to be there. And I was not clear when you said historic debt. Is it HMU or in the university? How come does, how does it happen that find a student this year, next year the student is not funded? Some of them drop out. I know a number of them in general. Who are funded this year, the following year, there is no funding. So those are my inputs to say, I'm just saying I'm really disappointed in the report, unless it could be given for something else. But even if we're given something, a presentation must contain main information. Thank you.
Honorable Paola.
Thanks to the Deputy Minister and Senior staff for this first presentation. Just a few comments which are concerned, like Honorable Lamin has said. I also have got a few of those in page 5. I'm concerned about the recovery of the loans. Your budget is increasing every year. I don't know about your recovery, whether it is increasing. Because my common sense will tell you that if your budget is increasing, it means you are giving to more students, then recovery should also be increasing as years go by. If we can also get that in the future. You stack it like you have stacked the budget in a particular year without so much. So that you can see that your plan to recover the loan is also up to scratch. From what you have stated, it seems like it's a very low percentage of what you get back of what you should be getting back. And we would like you to attend to that. My other concern is directed to the Deputy Minister because it pertains to government. AD is killing us. 9.9 for audit. But no, this is because it's not just this entity, it's across the board. I think government needs to attend to this. AD is part of us, part of government. But it's charging so much. I'm sure sometimes the fees that are charged by the AD will be a little bit less than if we were to go to a kind of site. That needs to be attended, Honorable Deputy Minister. The one on page 7 has been addressed in respect of the concern for the low achievement target of executive leadership. It's 52% and 57%. Yeah, when you talk about no A is an OP, I'm not even having a name, I'm not even an OP, an OP. Try to beautiful up yourself in respect of meeting your target. And The issue of the means test, I would have loved NSFAS to, if you had spoken a little bit more, to ask about that part, because that is where the gist of everything is, the issue of corruption. We would like to know, what are the improvements in terms of your means test? Have you improved so that you minimize corruption? Are there links with the other departments that have got data that can help you, like home affairs, like social development? Because what NSFAS seems to be doing to minimize this issue of wastage is keep on improving on the means test so that you minimize the loopholes of corruption. Because the corruption. If you can minimize work, I think there's one goal, but you need to keep on improving on the means test. Maybe next time you come to us, give us a presentation on the means test and let's see what it looks like, whether maybe the areas where you still can improve. And lastly, Chairperson, I'm a little bit concerned about this one goes to the board. The number of meetings attended by January, one meeting throughout the year, Chairperson of the board. The other one is 10 by 10 weeks, 50 or waiting. Two meetings attended throughout the year. Subcommittee meetings, the same two people held on the same meetings of the subcommittee, and also tell again in another subcommittee, only one meeting. Are these 50 members of the board?
Yeah.
So they have an interesting perception because they don't seem to like me to go to court meetings. Can you be pleased as to whether they are interested and rather than the event that I go, maybe there is a reason, maybe they were in the schools or something like that. So maybe I can do that a little bit too far. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jefferson. I must say I've been covered by some of my concerns related to race with the department. But I just wanted to compliment the minister on being honest and truthful and coming up front that there are challenges and not putting things up front. I'm a sincere compliment from that minister. I just want to speak and extend what my colleague has said in terms of means test versus the loan repayment. Findings have been some of the students who are recipients of the NSFAS do fail. And I want to know how do you receive funding for those who should become dropouts and not come back? What has been the challenges and if there has been any progress previously on that, can you please spell out what has been your achievements in the progress of receiving the funding for the needy ones? Attending also to what has been said in terms of the means test. I must be honest, Deputy Minister, that the means test is specifically there to advantage the previously disadvantaged. It's a very good thing to explain. But for a point, if I could raise this, the means test sort of disadvantaged just the people who are eligible to be recipients of the National Fund. Because you'll find at some stage one learner has been a recipient of the fund and the socio-economic situation of the learner changed. It may have been that they've been filthy rich and then the company liquidated. And the following year, that information is still sitting with you that this learner can hold. And you'll find that the MINTEF is not reinvented to check if the status of the socioeconomic earth is the same. Can I please ask that you do the overall and review of it? Because one's life and the socioeconomic means changes from one year to another. It does not stay in. I can be rich today and tomorrow. I can be as poor as a man.
The KFC, the King Salvador Dalgado, which we visited, there was an incomplete building in that institution. There is some history that whoever tried to build that, the building in which it built, so much money has been utilized to put it into effect, but is not utilized. And please ask him for your intervention. You get the history, what comes with the incomplete building that's existing there needs your intervention. You know, and know you that this is going to be dealt with accordingly with you. Looking at the history of the death, I just want to know specifically if there has been a writing of the death before 1998. I just read that there was a promise made on the death incurred before 1998. Have those deaths been dealt with accordingly as the promise? I know, Deputy Minister, you were not there then, but given the history of what has been happening, I think it's a cause for concern to see where we can even get some more money. The use of vouchers at some stage by the students in a wrong manner in terms of, you know what students do. I mean, they take advantage and all that. How are you monitoring and evaluating that system when they misuse the funding? Because at the back of my mind, I'm at a position that somebody who is desperate and needy to that funding is being misused by somebody. Specifically, if I could just say it usually, gets the funding and misuses it and nobody picks it up. So some monitoring of evaluation at a very deep level needs to be done. Okay, I think most of the what I've read in my colleagues have covered. Thank you.
And those members that maybe have additional questions will come back to you in the second round of questions. I will hand over to the department to respond. I'm not the first thing we're going to be giving. Let me ask the following. The issue of delayed payment to this position. Beginning of the academic year, have now been able to give you the challenge of payments that are delayed. That is my question number one. When you go around to these institutions now as the selecting team, are we not going to come across the problem? How is the allocation based? Is it rate based? Is it class based? What is the threshold in terms of the parents that are income earners? Is it 50,000 or has it increased to 200,000? What is the threshold that is going to be done? In cases where you give the full cost of study and the university is charging more than what NSFAS is giving to the students, I don't know if this one belongs to your question. Is there a way of causing universities not to charge the difference to use what NSFAS is giving? Because we are dealing with students that are in the main camp of our families. The issue of the instrument that is used for the mid-test, what is it that you look for? What criteria do you use? For instance, does it include issues like, does this student come from a local school? In order to give an indication of the background, where is the home situation, the family background, the household income, do we have those criteria included in the instrument for the mid-test? The issue of computing loans, are there not delays when the loan agreement is completed between NSFAS and the student? What is the amount of time it takes to complete the loans for students? Students with disabilities, some of them naturally would qualify for full funding, some of them would qualify for loans. what is the timeline between the concluding of the agreement between them and NSF, particularly the institutions of belief. You make a follow-up in terms of ensuring that institutions achieve a quality or universities that would support programs positioning themselves as the NSF, because as the members have alluded to, there is a high dropout rate and low graduation rate, and to me, that is a loss on the part of government, because we're putting a lot of money, in their studies, and if they drop out, it's counterproductive. We're not achieving anything. Let alone retrieving the money from those who are not serious about their studies. And also, why the student does not perform? Is there something that NSF uses to say, you are going to be taking 6 modules, all right? For us to be able to continue to assist you, you should demonstrate the seriousness where you at least pass 5 modules. And if you don't, you withdraw the funding in order to instill a kind of seriousness in students. Remember, I have actually said today during present provinces, if I do not see, I do not see the same case in presentation, then I am lost. I should know as a representative of Zulunda Pass how many students are benefiting from the programs from NSFAS. What is the dropout rate? Is there seriousness about it? Because if they are serious, then funding the private students that need it the most. So the next time this presentation is done for the committee of request, that you include that kind of detail. That is the language you understand. It's a select committee, because we are not a postal committee. We are a select committee. You also said earlier on, some funding comes from the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal, and I began to ask, what about other premiers? Why are they not coming on board? Why? Because we require a province. If premiers are instructed and they put education as a priority, then they should come forward in terms of so that you go up and see how Premier KwaZulu-Natal is coming on board. Why are you not showing absolutes because you represent them here? So those are the issues that maybe we need to look into. WPGT are the mechanisms of things in place in ensuring that they put WPGT students benefiting from NFS and also from other participants. I thought at some stage there will be integration of faculty so that we know it is very transparent who is benefiting from where so that there is no WPC. Then I'll hand over, you have divided yourself accordingly in terms of responding. You may not necessarily respond to all the issues that you face. We do not want to choke you, but we do expect a response the next time around the week to this. When you can't offer responses, you actually say, you know, the responses that you can follow, because maybe some of things you need to go and research and give us the new information, not to answer for the sake of answering. I hope that you stay. Then in 15 minutes, I will hand over to you. I don't know if you can start or
can I just see you? No, thank you very much. Just a hold to respond, so we just come in the end after all the questions and responses.
We just started that with the acting chain.
The board.
In the absence.
So the acting chain.
The action.
As you can see, I'm throwing a bit at the end now. I think I'll just draw the attention of the meeting to the fact that the board attendance issues, I think the member that was cited was only appointed in November, if I'm not mistaken. So there are appointment issues there. It's not just the member. The member is here. The member is there. It's a frequent attender. That's why I can speak to. But I also want to acknowledge the point that was raised, and I hope the executive officer is going to note this, that the audience, I think, is right in saying they would love to hear more about the provinces they represent. I think it's a fair comment from where I'm sitting. And perhaps it's a lesson for the next presentation, but
whatever will be coming here must speak to the different provinces. And particularly, digging a little bit deeper on what is going on. Although some of the issues, I suspect, may be out of the sphere of MSPAS, but they could be within the sphere of the ACT, like managing the use of buildings and all those kinds of things in KSB, the point that is raised. But it's important that we be aware of the abuse that is out there, and officials and the department from the NSS can work collectively to avoid those abuses out there. So as the board, we've been listening, and I'm sure there are lots of things that will pick up in our next board meeting, and the officials of NSS will have lots of to answer to. And there are management issues that sort of came up in the discussion, like the recovery of how do we manage that? If we hope to get private funding, how do we manage that? And I think communication, which is one of the 10 recommendations that was made, I think it also establishes that there's a need to clean up our communication strategy so that people know what's going on. So from that perspective, as a board member, I think I'm not a perspective.
Thank you, Chairperson. Myself and my colleague will just deal with the critical questions. I think the question of provincial information, I think, is taken. This presentation was hopefully inadequate in terms of giving provincial steps of the work that NSPAS does. On the fundraising, on the fundraising question, NSPAS is looking for money from you know, everyone that is prepared to give money. We have been consolidating public sector money in the last few years. I think we're now trying to branch out of not only public sector money and go and look for money that may be available inside or outside of the country. There might be international donor agencies that might want to sponsor students. You know, in the mid-90s to early 90s, there were some of the international donor agencies that sponsored students, and we might want to rekindle some of those relationships. The question of fraud in the value chain, in the financial aid value chain, this is something that has been, I think the Minister has addressed it quite firmly, that we need to have a thorough investigation, and the department is running the resources. From the side of NSPAS, it's almost a prevention mechanism. The new model, what the new model does is, our students are in the new model, or what we call transformation sometimes. They're applying directly to NSPAS, which means the data is sitting in one database. In the old model, which is where most of the students are still on, the data sits in 25 different university databases and 50 different FET college databases. Therefore, it was almost impossible to link it to an external database, because those were different legacy systems that were managing the information from student applications. But now the new model, we're beginning to consolidate all of that into one place, and we're now beginning to strengthen the ministers behind so that there is linkages to Home Affairs. We have an agreement with Home Affairs. We're just still working now on the general detail of Home Affairs on how real-time that is going to work, where we check whether someone is alive or dead. And Home Affairs is doing development on its own site, and we're waiting for that development so that we can now have a real-time linkage with Home Affairs. We're also engaging with us in terms of what they can give us. Of course, SARS has got protected information in terms of the DEXX, but they've indicated that they can give us something that would help us in terms of our assessment in terms of automated ministers. But the old model, we still have the manual ministers with all these problems. As we transition from the old to the new, the manual ministers is what we use. And all the challenges that we've had, we're trying to put interim things, you know, in place. One of them is almost when we get information and try and test a sample of that information and see if there is indications of wrong information that has been submitted by students. When we disperse money, I think it was a question raised by another. When we disperse money, in the old model, what we do, we pay money to the universities, and the universities give it to students via cards, vouchers, or various other forms that they have. So we don't give money directly to the students. So therefore, the money is protected, especially the fee money is protected. It goes straight to the university. Even in the new model, the fee money goes straight to the university. Allowances, your students, for instance, is due for book allowance. They get a voucher for the book allowance. But that voucher can only be used to pay at a bookshop. You cannot pay anywhere else other than a bookshop because all booksellers are registered in the system. And therefore, that voucher can only be used in a bookseller, which is on Skype or any of the booksellers across the country. If you get a food voucher, you can use it as a big retailer in the country. You cannot buy anywhere else. Of course, the question is the food retailer that you are showing in the first thing. That now food retailers are no longer only food retailers. They retail a whole lot of things. And now there's something that we're trying to approach in engaging with the food retailers. On the question of targets, the point is taken. I think we have not done well on the targets, but also on the presentation itself, I again take the point that we did not transpose the information that we had in the annual report. I think we made some assumptions that we don't want to regurgitate to members that is in the annual report, but we have taken that on. We'll improve the presentation going forward. There's also a question that has been, the CFO will deal with these spending questions in terms of what spending what the spending relates to. I also just deal with a question on the increasing budget and recovery. We've made the point that we're not happy with where the recoveries are. We think there's still much that we can do. In terms of analysis of information as to who is not paying, It's ongoing work because LEPAS loans only are payable once someone is working. It's not that we were unable to do a typical desktop analysis with banks because banks, whether you're working or not, they wind up loans repaid. But LEPAS, you only repay once you're working and earning above 30,000. But also at the same time, the big increases in the last few years have been bursaries. One of the biggest increases in the last few years has been SCT college money, which is 100% bursaries. No recovery is coming out of that. The CFO has spoken to a slide that shows the amount of pressures that run in the system. The final year program, again, if students pass all their courses, 100% of their final year program money is converted 100% to a pressure. Tivoli College is a pressure. Also, in big loan funds, if students pass all their courses, 40% of the big loan fund, again, gets converted to a pressure. And again, the new funders, most of them, NSF, the National Sales Fund, Funza Lushaka, the sitters, they are all offering bursaries. Those are not loans. Therefore, there shouldn't be a correlation between the increase in the budget of NSFAS and the increase in recovery, because the increase has been supported mainly from bursaries side rather than from the loan from the loan side. I've addressed the question of NSFAS. There is also a question of delayed payments to students. Two components to this. At the beginning of the year, between January and March, the NSFAS only starts paying monthly the government financial year starts, which is April onwards. But what we now do between January and March is to give upfront payments to the universities so that universities can support students, because government financial year has not yet started, but the academic year has started. Therefore, NSFAS intervenes by taking money from recoveries and giving to the universities and the colleges and the TVET colleges so they can support the students for the first 2 months of the year. And then students will then start submitting loan agreement forms to NSFAS during, they will be starting in about March, and then NSFAS starts paying from April when the new money comes in from government as part of the new budget. But it doesn't mean that students are stranded during that period, because there is money that is with the universities and the universities are assisting the students during that period. The second bit of the late payment to students is the old model. It works. It's a highly paper-based model. Students go to a university, apply, they get approved, and they sign a loan agreement form, a bursary agreement form. The universities would keep, and the colleges would keep the bursary agreement forms, put them in a box, put them in the back of a van, and ship them to Cape Town. Once they get to Cape Town, we open them, we capture the information, process, and bill payment. So there's a time lag between all of the courses happening at the university until it gets to the payment stage. But one of the things that NSFAS is doing is to try and improve that turnaround time by working closely with the university and the colleges to ensure that they send information as quickly as possible. We found that in some instances, colleges were getting information, but they were putting it in a box so that the box was full. But there's still a lot of folks in the line. They are still waiting for their money because they are waiting for the box to be full. We're now working more with the colleges so that they can try and send that information as quickly as they have it instead of waiting for the box to be full before they start sending it to Cape Town. But from our side, also, there were some challenges at NEPAS that we received things from institutions, but we weren't able to pay within the promised turnaround times. We're working on the turnaround time to ensure that we improve our systems and we're able to pay within the promised turnaround times to the university. Therefore, there's various areas where there's leakages in terms of timeliness of payment. The students with disabilities, there's dedicated funding for students with disabilities at universities, but the colleges, students with disabilities are funded within the MCV or the 191 program, which means they're also not disadvantaged at colleges. In terms of support that gets offered to the, by the university to students, I think the department will speak to this, because the department is now supporting the universities to ensure that they offer support to students so that students can succeed. It's not something that is being done directly by NSFAS, it's done by the department via the university. The students that are not performing don't get funded going into the, into the next year. What we set up is a threshold, the minimum threshold, that if a student falls below the minimum threshold, they will not continue to be funded. Because there's more students waiting in the queue that are doing much better. Therefore, we cannot afford to continue to support students. We also set a timeline in terms of when we expect students to complete their qualification. That they must complete their qualification within the normal time of that degree, and we give them a grace of 2 years, which is generous. It's generous enough. If students are not able to complete within that period, then they will not continue to be funded to the system. There was also a question about students getting assessed every year. And in 1 year they were successful, then in the second year they are told that they are successful. That's one of the legacy challenges that we have had with the old system. What we have now introduced, when we introduce the new system, we test the system where we say students will apply once in the system. If they continue to pass, they will continue to be funded. We have implemented that now with Nelson Mandela Metropolitan, the University of Technology, the University of Venda, and the University of South Africa. And the two universities, Swaziland University and University of Pumalanga. We've also implemented that test program at King Yinzaa TVET College, South Cape TVET College, Mateo TVET College, Mfolos TVET College, and Eguruleni East TVET College to see how that system works. And it's a complete departure from the old system where students had to apply every year. Then the new system, students will apply once and fund it. But those that maybe were not funded in the first year because they were rich in the first year, then subsequently they become, but they still get an opportunity to apply as new entrants in the system. At every given year, there is a gap for them to apply as new entrants in the system. It's not necessarily going to disadvantage them because in the first year, their situation, they were much better off in the first year, and then their situation changes going forward. Having said that, the new model is still very new. It still has got its challenges. We're still trying to get it down to ensure that it works as intended. But it's a result of the ministerial review. Most of the things that we're implementing in the model was a result of the ministerial review. That says you need to fix this and this and this and this. And we're in that journey of ensuring that we're fixing all the things that were identified during the ministerial review. I will hand over to the CEO.
Okay. Thank you. I will talk to the question of policies and other stuff. When it comes to policies, the policies, all of them are in place. What has happened, let's take fraud and policy, for example, because we went through a transformation and what is included in the transformation is the new students that are modeled and the toolbox. We are updating those policies to make sure that we cover the risk that have already been identified. The current policy as well, it includes new provisions, and we are reviewing those. And then the other policies that are extremely critical have been approved by the board, or they are in the process of being approved by the board. And then when it comes to the amount of 1.9 million for transformation, this is related to the implementation of the new student-centered model.
Because if you see for year on year, last year it was 17 million, this year it's 1.9 million, and the bigger part of that has been capitalized, and that you will see it in the statement of cash flows where it shows the software that has been capitalized and will be amortized over a number of years. And then the point of 4.9 million around travel and subsistence, that is related to the institutional visits where other members of the loans and advisories have gone and worked with the financial aid officers to assist them in retrieving the information and make sure that some of the points that the EO has alluded to that have been addressed around the student application being processed on time. And then other amounts included in the 4.9 million is the attendance of meetings by the board members, is the student engagement, because what NEPAS has done as well is we have tried to meet up with the student leadership, like SASCO and other political student leadership institutions, to make sure that we bridge this gap and we explain further about what NESPAS is all about. And we begin to listen to their cries as well and we implement them. And then another amount included in there is the meeting with the funders to when we sign other loan agreement or other MOU with the funders or when we attend to the issues that they raise or when they come to our offices in Cape Town. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to attend to a question that was asked, I think, by Honourable Member Lemin, who was saying, and she was also clear, he's not going to be getting complaints. I just want to attend to one category of the work that we are doing. Some of our funders, they give us what we term pre-selected list. So why are some students applying directly to other the institutions or us? Some are working via the funders, where the funders give us the pre-selected list of students that we should fund. Some of the challenges we're experiencing at the moment is when there are delays from the funder in terms of them providing us with a list. So for example, the Department of Social Development for Social Workers falls into that category. The Department of Basic Education for Funza Rushaga, which is attending to the teachers, falls into that category. Quite a number of teachers are also falling into that category. And also for the National Skills Fund. So if I take what we're dealing with now with social development, provinces were supposed to collate a list of students and that are to be funded for social work. And that list was then supposed to be given to the National Department of Social Development so they can give that list through to us so that we can then make sure that funds are able to flow to those. And whenever they are coordinated at the provincial level or with the departments or the funders that we are working with, such as the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, it means that we are not as an organization in position to start the disbursement of those funds. As a consequence of that, we have been working now with them to make sure that they able to give us those lists simultaneously in terms of the beginning of the academic year, so that we are then able to fund those students. That is then part of the significance of the notes that was being highlighted in the presentation, where now the EO was highlighting that MOUs have already been signed with CITAS for 2015. Implications of that is that there is now clarity with respect to the list of students that are going to be funded from year to year. Some of the gaps we will be experiencing is that unless there is clarity in terms of the list of students to be funded, let's say in 2015 from those funders, they will now be sitting in limbo where they are now asking you in your respective constituencies as to, am I funded? Why is my funded not confirmed? And they will come through to us as next part one confirmation. And we'll then go to these funders to ask for that confirmation. So we now have had to align time frames of the funders with the faculty of students so that we are then able to pay and pay timely. That has been part of the gap. So while we are able to work quite fine in terms of the funding that we are getting from the department, the other funders, unless they are aligned, will begin to experience some of the gaps. We must now work with them to try and close the timing issue there.
Okay. Before I hand over to the deputy minister, members, a few more questions to us. Honourable Lamin, Honourable Bonaparte.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and appreciate the responses. Maybe one will have to suggest or make a recommendation that I know most provinces do have for the students. instead of the water pressure, mention one province. I know in the province of Mpumalanga, they saw water pressure. If you could check all other provinces that are given priorities, not only government, also some municipalities. I also know where I'm coming from in the we were providing priorities to students. So that's because it means to me we are under reporting on what government is contributing in terms of priorities, because we only focus on the money that is contributed by national. If you can have this a full picture of the contribution that we are making in terms of international. Lena, Honorable Deputy Minister, I think it's for you. The other KAT is a boarding facility, it's not just one class. It's a boarding facility, they really needed us to assist them, which is being used by one member of the party to rent it out and make money out of it. It's not one class, it's a full boarding facility. It could be attended. Because what the person was repeating, if they talk to him, they get threatened. So it needs a political intervention. We cannot afford that. And I'm still not sure whether the question that was asked by the chairperson at the beginning, which the board member said he's not going to comment on it to the director official to speak on the critical issues. I still want to hear a response on that one. If there are no answers, just say that we have not looked into that review. Or we have, this is what we are planning to do. Just can't just say no, we're not confirming the question. If we can get a response on that, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got two things. The first thing is again about the policies. And I think what we hear this morning in the room is wedding is not going smooth. It's about policies, it's not really yet in place. So if the policy is in place, that is the purpose of a policy. If you have a policy, you know exactly how to handle a case, doesn't matter what. So I think for me, it is very, very important that the policies must be in place for each and everything we handle in our organization, in NAPAS. So, I'm also glad to hear that the main policies you have already in place. So, but there is still the smaller policy, which is also important, because it is this interaction between policies as well. So, let me get that right, and then I think it will go in smooth. And then my other comment regarding the annual report is, I'm looking into the Auditor General's remark as well. And I think we must take note about that. There's a lot of things, and it is on page 46. I just want to refer you to from point 22 up to point 29. If you just look at that, I will not go into each and every one, but the words is, steps were not taken to collect all need. 27, did not exercise sufficient oversight. 28, did not put adequate processes in place. So, and so I can carry on. So we take note of that at this stage, but I think that is things we must get in position so that everything is going smooth in the organization. Thank you very much.
I'd like to get responses on that and then the academic vote from me.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The presentation, I'm sure there will be a specific response that will be forwarded to the committee in due course. But in the presentation, we focus on the transformation project flows from the recommendations. The things like the holding team is part of trying to deal with some of the recommendations and seeking funders. And communication, but I think there should be a comprehensive report that speaks to each recommendation from the office, which will be forwarded to the committee.
No, thank you. One would appreciate it. However, the questions that you asked on my part
we emanate from, we extracted from something, you know, but I would still very much appreciate a comprehensive report that responds directly to the recommendations of the review committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I can add, there is some of the also general recommendations. What we've done and how we actually is we have separated all the recommendations based on each committee. And every committee, that's what we look at to show that come the end of this other view in 2015, those issues we actually put names left to the individuals and the board. That's what we also monitor and look to show that has been attended to. And hopefully in the next coming review, the issues that have been drawn up here will not come up again. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you indeed. I think this was quite fruitful. And thank you again for affording us the opportunity to present this annual report. No, definitely, Chair, I will have to follow up. I'll have to make a follow up on this issue of KSD. And we forward written response to the select committee through your office on how best we can interview at the college. Now, Chair, perhaps just to appeal to the NASPAS, I think it would be beneficial for the members of the committee that when the report we were as explicit as possible. So I think the report must improve. We must be able to outline all the challenges to this officer and outline the challenges and whether or not there are corrective measures in place to deal with these challenges. Because what we are seeking to do here is also to get a bit of wisdom from the committee on how to deal with some of the issues. So I think we have to also ensure the department that we will monitor this process. The reporting is very important. As I said, there are challenges, but also we are on daily basis recording good strides and good achievements. But I think what is coming out very clear from the committee is that tell us the challenges. We are representatives of provinces, we are delegates from provinces. We want to go back to provinces and you know, and paint the full picture of what it is that is being done right, where are the shortcomings, and how do we deal with them. Chair, you know, we have now launched a forensic investigation just to determine the levels of corruption and fraud that are related to funding to last month and all of that. I know that a tender has been advertised and that process will ensue very soon. Because we do want to know, you know the extent at which you know, this fraud and corruption will. It's a lot of money that we have in hand, but we don't know small change. But like in any, I wouldn't say corrupt system, but like in any other system, you find pockets of people who would want to benefit from out of what is intended for a good cause. So we'll definitely be giving you, you know, constant reports on where you are with that particular process. And I think you're quite right, Honorable Lamin, that we have to, and I think this point has been emphasized by the acting chair here, that we have to, you know, paint a good picture of reporting, but our reporting must be slightly different from that of the National Assembly of the Portfolio Committee, because the mandate of this committee of this House is different from that of the Portfolio Committee. No, Chair, indeed we're not doing very well in the area of recovery. But we've done well, at least with last year's recovery also. Yeah. I think we've done well not last year in the context of those who were funded last year, but in collecting all the recoveries. And as much the CEO, I'm not sure if you mentioned it, is that the upfront payments that are given to the different institutions are actually coming from the recovery. So it's very important that we recover the money. And again, it's one area where we like to enlist the assistance of the committee. That we make this clear and common to all those people who have benefited from the system that they must pay back the money. So we have to launch the pay back the money. This would be the real company, pay back the money. Yeah, so we would really appeal that the committee, assist us in this regard. In whatever platforms that that you have in the House, in the NCOP, everywhere else, we must just make that clear and call. Now, Chair, I also thought I should just touch on the issue of fundraising. We have, begun now with a campaign of calling on the private sector to come on board, because we do believe that they can make a significant contribution to the health of that. What comes from the states. And we are hoping that we'll heed to this call. Because I do believe that the main characteristic of a government in a developmental state is one that ensures that there is that social compact between government. Now, we do know that the private sector, from time to time, in fact, all the time, big companies, would offer bursaries to their own people. They have their own criteria which they use. But these, that they get to fund people who then come back and, address their needs in the name. While this is a good thing, we feel that if they can make a contribution to education generally, and not to what they require as a company or as a business, but to education, it will really help a great deal. We made mention earlier of the fact that we need about 54 billion to assist all needy students. And we don't believe that this is for billions should actually come from the business. If the private sector can progressively contribute, we could actually be coming up with half. That is, if we get to a point where such monies come our way. So again, we misinformation. Obviously, the people who not necessarily pass the means test, but their parents would fall just like slightly above the determined price of 122,000, is it? That would be your teacher, the police, your nurses, and some government officials, like junior level. Yeah, we are looking at that. I think at a point when we've dealt with all the difficulties, we've reported to the court on how far we are with our process, because we feel that it is very much unfair to those young people who are not necessarily rich, whose parents or families are not rich, but equally are not, you know, extremely poor, so do not fall below the set threshold. But also, I think this one of so I'm not sure my layman understanding of this one is that when a child applies for funding, he will obviously have to face set criteria. Affidavit and all of those things. I bet that you are rich last year. If you are bored this year, you must produce proof. And on the basis of that, be awarded fund the loan of the consulting. So I think it's yeah. But Chair, thank you once again. As I said, we remain very positive. We refuse to be despondent, Chair, despite this challenge. We'll improve on the reporting so that we meet the expectations of the members. We appeal that you work with us. It's a very difficult task. It's a long journey. Work with us. We are together. Education is a societal issue. And therefore, and I know as you ask this question, it's not because it's not out of each heart, really. It's really out of, you know, your good hearts to assist us, to work with us, so that we improve for the sake of the young people that we are trying to skill, to educate, so that they become better people and better leaders of men. So we appreciate this opportunity, Chair. All the written responses that that must come from our side as a department, that must come from the entrance, from NASA, will forward through your office. But once again, thank you indeed.
I think we'll come to the end of the announcement, a lot of members. With NSFAS, the Department of Higher Education, represented here by the Deputy Minister. In our concluding remarks, Deputy Minister, we want to say we really, as the SLEC committee, appreciate the amount of work that NSFAS is doing in partnership with the Department of Higher Education. You are doing a lot of food, if you look at the figures, the increased number of students that are affected now as compared to a couple of years previously, we are really making great strides. We need to put ourselves on the shoulder of the world. It is not only a good story to tell, but it seems to be an exciting story to tell. I miss the challenges that we face. We keep improving. It's good story. The graduate should be best story. The graduate should be exciting story. Because we see our book. I do also want to say that we are going to see the call of actually coming on as part of the select committee on issues relating to ensuring that students, as soon as they are able to ready their language to show, recognizing the fact that there are many other students that would love to benefit from the same kind of privilege. So that's why we undertook that we are going to assist a provinces. And
also the issue, Deputy Minister, of student accommodation. We really are concerned here that you go to the expense of having to pay for private accommodation. Private accommodation is very, very expensive. And if maybe the department would actually try to ensure that there is accommodation, there are residences needs by government, so that we try to engage this issue of having to pay so much for our students by way of private accommodation. And the ego would try to decrease corruption. I am not doubting that the private sector is more than willing to come. Because once they sense that there is misuse of funds or this corruption or misappropriation, then they are going to send off. But the minute we give them an assurance that we are taking corruption very seriously as this government, they are going to be more than willing to come and assist. Because as you have rightly said, education is a societal issue. We do want to be South African, actually graduating and improving and assuming a meaningful position and spaces in the community. And lastly, we did indicate to the kind of the format that we'd like to see the presentation presented, particularly to the select committee, with more detail. And we do hope that that is going to be happening the next time we invite the department as well as the NGO, because of the particular perspective that we have at a select committee. However, thank you very much for the efforts that you've given. We were not lambasting, but we were doing it in very good spirit, in saying that you also are accounting back home. They would like to know what you are doing. From time to time, we go back to people. With those words, I do want to say, I wish you all the best. We are together in this struggle. You are not alone. You are not. I think from a patient, nothing else, but what has been done to ensure that we improve the standard of education, we give our children the skills that they need, the education, the vocational training that they need, as the manual of law of your department. I think we then attend this presentation. Thank you.
I'm going to go to the next one. nothing that she put us in this class.
I'm
strong enough to think about it.